Good to go here. Just calling up the stream, get the chat up. All right, Osmo, here we are. It's your old pal Emac coming to you on a Saturday morning, a little bit early. We've got a 9-gamer today. Well, technically it's 10 games, but somehow my Fred Van Elite fan club not happening today because Toronto playing at 6:30 of all times. It's a little bit bizarre. I'm joined by everybody's favorite Gundacker. Gun, how's it been? We've got our work cut out for us today.
Yeah, man, 9 games. I'm almost happy that the Raptors game made on the slate because then I don't have to play is 40 minutes Van Vliet gonna break the slate, or is Chris Boucher gonna get run to death? You know what I'm saying? I'm okay without that headache today if I gotta deal with 9 other games.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a lot of games last night. I had a marginal slate. It was borderline break even. I made my decision point incorrectly between Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox. And because I write the DFS building blocks article, and it's semi Yahoo focused, but is the best plays of the day at that point in time. And we write that so it doesn't get stale. And there may be better options that appear, but worst case, these are going to be, you know, core options still. They may not just be the best anymore. So I usually don't screw around with too many value plays, but I've had to start writing sections with entire teams out, right? Because it's just like, all right, depending on which site you're on, you know, here's X, Y, and Z. But I had built my lineups around Fred VanVleet, Darius Garland, and I had one other in the article that I had in there. And those guys all did well. And if I just would have spent $1 less, I went for the contrarian approach, $1 less for Fox over Halliburton there, and I would have gotten a nice bump in my payout. But such is life. I chose to go, I thought that would be more contrarian to go with Halliburton. And the funny thing was, we had them both projected within a point of each other on all sites. And the popularity was basically Fox was just a little bit more because he was a little bit cheaper. It was like $200 cheaper, I think, on DK, and then $1 cheaper on Yahoo. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go this other direction, because you go look at Halliburton's game logs and he's been phenomenal, more assists than anything else. And now De'Aaron Fox is kind of the primary scorer. Well, Fox rattled off something like 15 points in the first quarter half. And that was as I was going to bed. I'm just like, all right, this isn't going to work out for me. But I was watching on my phone, Gundacker, and all of a sudden, by midway through the second, Halliburton had like 5 or 6 assists. So I'm like, okay, it's not going to be the end. I'm going to min catch at least. But oh, darn you. Do you have any good sweats last night?
No, I actually, I had, so I like to tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, my favorite players, and I tier 1, $7,500, Zach LaVine. Oof. And he got injured real fast, so yeah. I put a damper on things. So the rest, like, I was super high on Marvin Bagley, that whole Houston-Sacramento game, but it just felt like Zach LaVine found his way in a lot of the top dogs that I had in the hunt. So that was unfortunate, but that is the nature of the beast.
It is going to happen. All right. For those of you who are out there, please do hit that like button. We appreciate it. We just crested over 71,000 subscribers. That is excellent. I was going to say that is awesome. Oh, yes, it is awesome. And that's why you're following us, because it is amazing content here. We also have rebranded the Osmo Odds YouTube channel. It is now Odd Shopper, Osmo Odd Shopper. And we're going to be moving a few of the shows over there and adding quite a few more sports wagering shows. So you guys might want to subscribe to that one as well. Again, that's all free content. We're on so many places, so many different channels. So you hit that subscribe button and hit the little notification bell. You get the little alerts when we pop up. So that is helpful as well. You can always follow the main Twitch channel, and you'll get a lot of the shows there as well. But as we are simulcasting, we can only put one show up there, so sometimes some of the secondary sports don't quite make it up there. But a lot of fun, a lot of ways to follow us there. And today we are sponsored by Yahoo. So we've partnered with them this NBA season. We're bringing you guys some great offers. Check out our limited time only in the link below us in the description here. Click through that link to sign up at Yahoo. When you sign up with Yahoo and you make your first deposit, they will give you $10 in site credit. When you play in your first paid contest, not using their site credit, but paid contest, they're going to send us an email saying, hey, this person signed up through your link. You need to give them 30 free days of Osmo premium content. We will send you a coupon code that will make that happen for you. If that's not happening or not happening quickly enough for you, reach out to support at osmo.com. We want to make sure you get those 30 days, and those 30 days of all access content do include our Yahoo projections. We just launched the official Yahoo NHL projections as well. Their site gets a little bit more overlay, and they have reduced management fees, aka rake, compared to the other site. Best place to be playing out there, especially if you have a limited bankroll from that. And then finally, last thing we have before we dive into the analysis, and I'm going to mention this one a couple times throughout the show, you can get the wild card weekend. So the super wild card weekend, 6 games this week, 2 today, 3 tomorrow, and our first Monday playoff game. You can sign up to get the wild card weekend for just $1. That gets you all of the showdown information, the player projections, the ownership projections, the top plays tool, just for $1. That's the NFL Express Weekly Pass. You put in the promo code SUPERWILD and you'll get all of that for $1. If you sign up today, that gets you through the first game next, or the first gets you through Saturday next week as well. So you get a lot of bang for your buck for those of you that are on a bit of a budget conscious thing here. Just $1. There's no reason not to do this. That works out to not even 20 cents per game. It's a pretty good deal. All right, Gunn, let's jump on in here. We've got 9 games here. We've got Portland at Washington. Portland is 7.5-point underdogs. That doesn't seem right. Oh, wait. Norman Powell is out. Larry Nance Jr. is out. CJ McCollum is out. Cody Zeller is out. Damian Lillard likely. I'll be shocked if he plays again this season. Washington without Bradley Beal, who is in the health and safety protocol. Washington, a little bit of a, I don't want to say a mess, but they've got all of their bigs back. You've got Rui Hachimura. You got Davis Bertans. He's a little dinged up. You've got Montrezl Harrell back out of the health and safety protocol. You've got, who am I missing there? Oh, why am I blanking on it? He's only been out for a year.
Bryant.
Yes, Thomas Bryant. All I could think of was Troy Bryant. I'm like, that's not the TB I'm looking for, or nor is it Tom Brady. But Thomas Bryant, who'd been out literally for almost a calendar year, or just over a calendar year with his knee injury, he's back. That makes that front court a bit of a mess because they still, of course, have Daniel Gafford. But without Mr. Bradley Beal, we do see increased usage there for Spencer Dinwiddie. And then we've got the question mark, the Kyle Kuzma. Our own Ship My Money Share, who is a since birth Washington Wizards fan, he has said that Kuzma is a more efficient Russell Westbrook. He said that the rebound opportunities may be more limited with this front court coming back. I agree with him. Yet Kuzma still got his in the last game. What are we doing with Kuzma? What are we doing with Dinwiddie? And then who do we like from the decimated Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah, so when we start with the Wizards, Spencer Dinwiddie without Bradley Beal has just been a set and forget it type of play for me, especially when he's closer to 6K than 7K. On both sides today, he is closer to 7K, but he carries a 25% usage rate, 1.16 DK fantasy point per minute, 1.12 on FanDuel, and he puts up usually at least 17 real points, a lot of times over, and that's a little bit of a nudge to some prop sites because I've been able to get him at 16.5 every time in this situation. So I'm looking at Dinwiddie quite a bit. The caveat with Dinwiddie on this 9-game slate is early on, he's coming in as the highest owned player on the slate, about 35% from our early look. We'll see if that holds up throughout the day, but really not a whole lot of pushback. You mentioned the Blazers being as short as they are defensively. It should be a good path to success for Dinwiddie. Kuzma's I feel like his success has been dang near controversial on the DFS Sharp Twitter, by hook or by crook, one way or another, Kyle Kuzma is getting there, whether it be flirting with triple doubles with high assists or going Dennis Rodman with the rebounds. He's just doing it. So I think at 8,100, I'm realistic with the expectation being, 40 is probably the high end percentile of what you might get, but it is a consistent range outcome, at least as of late. So I'll have some of them, but he's not like a lock for me at this price point. And then leading on to the Blazer side, no McCollum, no Powell, and no Lillard. I'm definitely going to be high on Anthony Simons, who, much like Dinwiddie, over you know, as you get to 7K, the pressure to play him is a little bit lower. He's 75 on FanDuel, 72 on DK. But in the absence of those aforementioned guards, he's held a 32% usage rate with over a fantasy point per minute. So you like the upside for him, not only because of the usage rate, but because of the minutes that are coming his way in this situation. So I will get to some Simons here, and then Yusuf Nurkic. All those cats you mentioned in the front court for the Wizards, I really don't run from a defensive standpoint, especially Montrezl Harrell. So Yusuf Nurkic, I think, is going to be one of the bigger catalysts in this team's success or lack thereof. 73 on FanDuel, 78 on DK. He has burst through the minute ceiling as of late, several games with well over 30 minutes. That last game was a blowout, so I wouldn't overthink it. 33, 38, 31, 33. So if he's going to have a shot at 33 minutes of a competitive basketball game, he'll likely be second to only Simons in usage, and he'll likely be higher than Simons in terms of per minute production from a fantasy standpoint. So I'm all about Yusuf Nurkic today. I think he has true 50-plus fantasy point potential, and that's what my early projection is looking at. So I'll take 50 under 8K all day, every day. So give me Nurkic, Simons, Dinwiddie, and a little bit of Kuzma. Everyone else just kind of complimentary, tertiary plays. Ben McLemore has got himself a little bit of a boost in price where you don't feel warm and fuzzy on his name. The same with Dennis Smith Jr. So I think the front end is pretty obvious. The as you get behind the front end, it's a little bit more spin the wheel, make a deal.
Absolutely. And the fun part there on Nurkic is his salary. And we'll get into some of the Yahoo salaries here that stand out in particular. But Nurkic at 33, with that strong ability to flirt with 50 fantasy points, you're looking at someone that if Jokic has a marginal game, which we've seen a couple times, and you know, I expect a spirited game against the Lakers here, but we've seen him, you know, if they don't need him to crush, or he's already crushed and he has, you know, in 27 minutes a poor man's triple double with 17 points, 10 or 12 boards and 10 assists, he's gonna be out of there. That's barely 50 fantasy points. We're expecting his median projection to be closer to 65. You're looking at a Joel Embiid, a Vooch on a back-to-back, not that long out from missing some time. All of a sudden you're looking at Nurkic coming in at a discount there, and he can jump up and get a similar, his high end will be similar to those median projections, and doesn't mean they won't fall below their median. We've seen that. So he's someone that's definitely in play. There are a ton of centers out there today on Yahoo. We can just play two similar to DraftKings, but they don't have multi-position eligibility. So it looks like a night where we're going to want to have a center in the center spot, obviously, and one in the utility spot, because we're going to talk, we mentioned Jokic, you've got Embiid on the slate, you've got Vooch, you've got Nurkic, you've got Jonas Valanciunas, you've got Jared Allen going against a mostly depleted OKC team. There's a lot of options out there today, so we'll want to keep our eyes peeled for those. Before I move on to our next game here, I want to talk about I see someone asking, how do I get the optimizer, the fantasy cruncher, if I sign up for Osmo? So if you go to the osmo.com/join page, you can see little videos that tell you about all of our different tools, et cetera, that are out there. But if you also, once you click on join, it'll bring up some questions, and it'll just help you choose your correct plan. Up at the top, there's some few little dial buttons here, and it just kind of says, hey, are you a serious player? Are you just a hobby player? Are you just casually doing it? That'll sort of direct you to the month-long package, perhaps just a one sport package, or even one of the express packages. We're trying to help you out so you can understand that. But if you scroll down a little further down, you can see our different, the core packages, the weekly, the monthly, and the annual. And then a little bit further down on that, you can see a little on off button that turns green when you click it. That's to add on the Fantasy Cruncher. So while we support Fantasy Cruncher, it's sitting on our interface, but it's going back to their platform. So it's what we call a pass-through cost, right? So, you know, we're supporting it. They're giving it at a discount compared to their regular price, because we're the ones that are going to feed it with our projections. We're going to be the ones you guys reach out to for most of your questions. We're going to help school you up in the Discord chat, show you all sorts of videos and different ways of approaching this. So they said, hey, you're going to do all that heavy lifting. If you sell, you know, if you support this for us, we're going to give it a little bit of a discount to everybody, because we we know that you're going to give them a shot at using it to its fullest. So that is a phenomenal way to get in there. And it's as you can see down at the bottom, it's not their stripped down version anymore. It's one of the frequently asked questions. It's their main one. So they've tweaked that as well. So that's something that's definitely worth it. And you know, they're happy to have us supporting it. And you can also get in, if you're a member here, you can also get into their Discord as well, if you would like. So lots of ways that we're trying to help you guys out with the Fantasy Cruncher there. All right, next game here, and then we're gonna hit some analysis, because you know we've done most of our upfront stuff here, Gundacker, but we've got New York at Atlanta. Cam Reddish not quite ready for the Remember Me game. He's going to be out for a few games with an ankle injury, but he was just traded from Atlanta to the Knickerbockers for Kevin Knox and some picks and or pick swaps. I don't remember the full nuts and bolts of that detail, but we do have Kemba Walker out tonight as well. So they're going to be running a little thin there in their guard situation. Atlanta is questionable with Clint Capella. He did not play last night. It was Gorgui Dieng who got the start. And then Kevin Knox, questionable. I will be curious if he plays for Atlanta. I'm not really sure what they're doing on that one. But we do want to know that Atlanta's on the back-to-back. Last night, Trae Young had 35 minutes. Collins and Hunter each played 30. Gallinari had 34 off the bench. I want to point out that not only is this a back-to-back, but they also play a 1 p.m. game, or New York plays a 1 p.m. game on MLK. Atlanta, it's their back-to-back. They play a 6 o'clock game on MLK. I'm going to call out most of those games there, especially for people that are on back-to-backs or if they're playing those early MLK games, because what we could see is if it's a blowout tonight, we could, for one reason or another, we could see some coaches just go, nope, schedule loss. We're playing at this 12:30, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock game on a Monday. That's completely random. We normally don't play that early. We may be on the road coming back home and all of that. They may just take some schedule losses here. So that's worth noting. But back to New York, 3-point underdogs in Atlanta, 214 over under, kind of middle of the road here. What do you like from this game, John? Because it feels like a lot of neutral plays. Is there anything you want to point out for us?
Yeah, I don't think anything in this game is going to become a priority unless some news starts shaking. Like if we got Capella out, we'd have to consider Gorgui Dieng or John Collins, something like that. These two teams, they have some fun spirit between them, but it's more so Trae Young versus New York, the city, the people. And I'd be a little bit more interested in Trae Young if this was in Madison Square Garden. But Trae Young on the south side of 10K on both sides still gives you a chip and a chair for 50 fantasy points, a lot of 30 real points, a lot of 10-plus assist games. So he'd be in the mix for me, but the Knicks running such a low pace, I believe the slowest in all of basketball, just on the table compared to everything else we'll have in front of us. This will be one of the slowest pace, meager to low totals that I really don't feel overly enamored with getting too much from this game. I definitely don't have a lot of warmer fuzzies on the Knicks side. I will say we'd be remiss to not at least point out that Julius Randle has been demoted price-wise. It's been a lot of 10K price tags on Randle, and that's no longer the case on both sides. South side of 9K, 86 on DK, 82 on FanDuel. 40-plus fantasy points is not hard for Julius Randle to do, and I like his ceiling a little bit more in the absence of Kemba Walker. Two games this season against the Hawks, he's averaging just below 40 fantasy points in those games. So I can get behind some of this new price Julius Randle. But outside of that, I'm not looking to make much here a priority. And then on the Hawks side, I guess – I would say at least look at DeAndre Hunter. For some reason, he is min price, bare bones min on DraftKings. And yesterday saw 24 minutes in that first game back. So we don't have to worry too much about a minutes restriction from him returning to action. You mentioned no more Cam Reddish. So there's some minutes for him to be had. And his value is so undeniable from a pre-flop standpoint. He's actually coming in second in our ownership projections, 30% behind just Spencer Dinwiddie so far. So he's going to make a lot of stuff work a little bit more conveniently with the lowest risk you can ask for and a decent reward. But other than that, I don't have a lot here that I'm going to be leaning on.
All right. I wanted to, and I'm just loading my stuff here into Fantasy Cruncher so I can sort it easier here for Yahoo. See, we use it too on the back end as well. I wanted to look at the Bogdanovich price. There it is. He is $12. Now, he did not have a great showing last night. He played 23 minutes at just 17 Yahoo points, but we have seen him with 29 in 32 minutes in the game prior to that, and 35 in 31 minutes the game prior to that, 23 in 27 minutes, and then 32 in 41 minutes. So point being with him is he is pretty cheap there. Not all $10, and the $10 is the minimum. Not all $10, $11, $12 players are created equal. He is definitely a step above those guys. While the game log does not exactly have us turning cartwheels, $12 for someone with his talent and with them maybe needing a little bit more of kind of everything minutes-wise filling in for the departed Cam or Reddish here, or the decamped. I guess he's not really departed. He is now in New York, but we've got to. It felt a little gruesome here for early morning.
I thought he died. Hold up.
Yeah, we're gonna change that to decamped, right? I had to think on my feet of what's another word that he's plying his trade elsewhere these days. But Bogdanovich is kind of interesting there at $12. And then I see someone in chat was asking, hey, I signed up via other site using the Osmo promo code. When do I get my 30 free days? Generally, what happens is usually it's 24 to 48 hours before they kick us your contact information. If you want to reach out to support@osmo.com and say, hey, I signed up for X site on this day, I made my deposit, here's my username there, we can help get you advanced in on our premium content. And then if that email's not coming from them, that very insert site here in the next day or two, we're going to take that away from you. And then we're going to put you on the do not help list and you don't get Osmo anymore. So don't run the okie doke. It's only going to hurt you. But if you want to kick that loose a little quicker, you can send in an email to support@osmo.com and we'll hook you up, especially if you're not already a member. If you're already a member and you already have access, just give us, let the cycle run through. It does, it'll happen. But if you are new, or don't have a current membership, then reach out to support. We can help you out. The only thing we say is, if you're doing it right before lock, we are all scrambling behind the scenes for our own teams and for projections, and we all wear many hats here. It's going to be a little delayed at that point. So use prudence, but definitely check that out. All right, let's continue on here. New Orleans at Brooklyn. Brooklyn, no Kyrie Irving, no Joe Harris, no LaMarcus Aldridge, but they should have Kevin Durant back. He was out, or was it? Harden out, though, whomever was out the last game, they're going to have both their stars in this one. Nicholas Claxton is questionable. New Orleans plays the 12:30 Monday game, the kickoff game on MLK. Brooklyn has lost two of their last three and six of their last nine. They play at 3 o'clock on MLK. I bring up those two losing two of three and six of their last nine because didn't we just get a quote saying they were just that good? From Kevin Durant. You know, consistency is key. Great win, but you've lost six of your last nine. Just throwing it out there. What do you want to do here with this game? Because it does look like there's some fantasy goodness here.
Yeah, 228 total, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Nets here. Depending on who's active for the Nets front court, we've seen a couple of stretches with Aldridge and Claxton out, where Daron Sharp drops 30, and then when it makes the most sense for him to drop 30, he doesn't drop
the deuce. No, he dropped a deuce on my lineups.
Yeah, I literally locked him that night. So hopefully for our sake, Claxton's back in the mix. We mentioned there's a lot of upside at center today, so maybe I don't even have to worry about the value plays, and I just try to win the position with the big dogs anyway. But obviously, when James Harden, Kevin Durant in the lineup, we expect that to be the majority of the usage, majority of the real points, the fantasy points. Patty Mills is still on the south side of 5K. I feel like every now and then in this particular matchup against the Pelicans, considering this total, there's a real chance for him to take double-digit shot attempts, and almost all of his shots will be from behind the arc. So if he gets hot from three, we've seen it, he's not immune to dropping 20 real points this season. And with KD and Harden on the court to space a little bit more, I don't think that's a crazy take at under 5K. But outside of that, I'm really just looking at Harden and KD. On the Pelican side, Brandon Ingram is a better click on FanDuel than DraftKings, $1,000 discount from site to site. Looking for the north side of 40 fantasy points. We know he's going to lead the team in usage. I think Josh Hart as well on FanDuel over DraftKings. Usually with Josh Hart, I'll start him at 30 fantasy points and work from there. And I think it, you know, if, at that floor, the 6,600 price tag on FanDuel, I like that quite a bit. Devontae Graham, 5,500. It's going to be a little shooting dependent, but playing in this type of game script with such a high total, some of those long range threes will be needed from him. So if you think 30 plus fantasy points is an outcome for him, which I think it is, I don't think it's a consistent outcome. So it would be like a tier three low exposure play for me. But I think every now and then he gets there. I don't really believe in six rebound Devontae Graham like he did last game. But, you know, 15 to 20 points and five plus assists isn't a crazy expectations. And then J-Val talked about Yusuf Nurkic having 50 plus fantasy points as a potential projection for him. J-Val is another one of those dudes that can go 40, 50 real quick. And on both sides, he's really easy to get to. 7,600 on FanDuel, 8,300 on DraftKings. I think his per minute production speaks for itself, and every now and then he'll launch one from behind the arc. So I like a lot from this game. I think everything is going to have to be governed, right? A couple of player correlation rules in your fantasy cruncher, but there's a lot to like here on both sides, assuming the Pelicans can keep this game competitive, because all of their starting five I have projected for over 30 minutes. I might stagger Harden and Durant exposure based on their DraftKings price points. I think on FanDuel, you could get away with putting them together and kind of throw a net over 100 fantasy points and walk away. But yeah, there's a lot to like here on both sides.
Yep. Harden is point guard only these days on Yahoo. He is coming in at one of the more popular plays, considering it's a 9-game slate. He's at 23%. Kevin Durant, the perfect pivot, just $2 more. They essentially have the same projection right now, but he's power forward. There's a lot of good power forwards here. We still can play power forward, forward, or utility, but we've already said we want the two. We're kind of looking at the utility spot probably for a center. The only thing I have against Jonas Valanciunas, now he's only, I mean, it's an arbitrary point. He's only cracked 50 fantasy points once in the last 5 weeks. He's generally in the upper 30s to low 40s. So this is no knock on him. But the hard thing is he going to shoot? We know he's going to rebound like a madman, but is he going to shoot? Because when he doesn't get doubled or, at least 12 field goal attempts, he kind of has pedestrian outings here. And he's one of those guys that's going to make 60% of his shots or 50-60%, because he does take a few jumpers. And as you mentioned, he will take two or three for beyond the arc each game, a new little wrinkle for his portfolio. But his rebounding, 16, 12, 17, 10, 16, 9, 10, 16, 7, 16, 12, 11. Those are awesome. The points all over the place. Sometimes it's over 20. Sometimes it's single digits. We need him to shoot. But at the price, I'm willing to take the chance at $33 here, most definitely. Anything else from this game, Gunn?
No, I think the rest of the Nets I'm not touching. Even if Patty Mills can break a slate, Paul Millsap can break a slate. Not today, though. Not today, Satan.
All right. I see Spud Kelly, Nolan Kelly, one of the harder working guys behind the scenes. Most everybody is here, but he wears about 18 hats behind the scenes here. He's in chat, says he's just ordered his EMAC 2020 coffee mug and t-shirt. I've got mine headed here as well, so I'm looking forward to that. We had producer Mike sporting his coffee mug earlier pre-show here. I know that Neil Orfields had his out there on camera. It's lots of fun. Even Alex Baker had his coffee mug up the other day. Enjoy it. This is we can all get behind the EMAC 2024. One, we're going to be nice to each other. And two, the campaign promises a pizza in every oven. Come on, let's mend these fences. Let's come back together and have some fun here with EMAC 2024. Cleveland at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City will be without Kenrich Williams and Isaiah Roby. That sort of thins out their front court. Rajon Rondo, questionable. He was a late scratch last night with a hamstring injury there for Cleveland. We've got Cleveland is on a, where's my notes? Back-to-back, and it is a 3-4. Last night, they had Mobley play 39 minutes. Garland played 37, and then Markkanen, Allen, and Stevens, the other three starters, were between 31 and 34. We didn't see a lot of minutes from Kevin Love. I didn't write that one down. It was either 18 or 24. I can't remember which now, but it wasn't that many. I do expect to see him for a similar range tonight. We have Cleveland playing the 3 p.m. game on MLK. I bring all of this up because Darius Garland, phenomenal option. I really like him for a second straight day on Yahoo. We have very friendly, very friendly price point of $28. He's intriguing. Jared Allen goes in the mix as yet another center we can look at here. What do you like here? Start us off with the Cleveland side, because they're running pretty thin. They have no more guards. Colin Sexton's been out since, what, November 10th or so. Rubio's been out for about the last 8 or 9 games. Fortunately, Garland is getting a backup to speed after missing a handful of games himself, so he's a full go. But Garland is just not getting the love on Yahoo at 28.
Yeah, Garland tends to just fly by the radar every slate. I don't know if the price is just super appropriate or not, but I believe that there's a little room for upside at that price point. If nothing else, we'll take a solid floor in the absence of Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio. He's had himself a 27.1% usage rate, 1.16 fantasy point per minute on DraftKings, and a 40% assist rate. So you almost expect a double-double with assist in this split in the right matchup. And I think this is the right matchup. So I do like Darius Garland. We are struggling with a low total because Cleveland will run such a slow pace and has such a solid defense. But the minutes can compensate for the total. And in this spot, I do like Darius Garland. I like the handcuff with Jared Allen, with Evan Mobley. Both Mobley and Allen have a real shot at, real point rebound double doubles. But one of my favorite parts of their game is their ability to go get blocks. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're right up there with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets when it comes to blocks per game allowed. So this could be a true ceiling upside for either or. And you mentioned Mobley is probably more likely to play more minutes in a 1v1 between him and Jared Allen. 39, 36, 42, 36 minutes his last four games. So if you're going to get that type of minute opportunity in such a soft matchup, both those guys trend pretty well. Maybe you put those two in a group on Fantasy Cruncher at most one if you truly are trying to sniff out ceiling. But everyone on the Cavs side is really justifiable. But Garland, Mobley, and Allen is the front end interest for me. On the Thunder side, SGA, the Thunder, they have a problem keeping games competitive, but when they are competitive and they are at full strength, they got Lou Dort, they got Josh Giddey, SGA. Those are usually the three linchpins for me to kind of trust and believe them to be able to be competitive. SGA is a guy that's going to get it done. 30 plus real points in back-to-back games. He did get the depleted Brooklyn Nets. He did get the depleted Washington Wizards. So maybe it was a much softer matchup. And if there's one thing the Cavs are notorious for this year, is being a really solid defense. So any given Sunday, the Thunder are liable to get blown out because their offensive efficiency is so poor. But if the game stays close, you can make a case for SGA between 8 and 9K on both FanDuel and DraftKings. And I feel like that's the theme of today's slate. There's so much potential between 8 and 9K at several positions that you're going to have to really win and edge out, who gets that plus 5, plus 6 margin of difference versus the projection. And I think there's a case to be made for SGA. I'd almost feel a little bit better about Garland for floor here, but obviously SGA has an undeniable ceiling. Elsewhere on the Thunder, Josh Giddey has knocked on the door of on 7K on FanDuel, over 7K on DraftKings. It's gotten to the point where I lean on him more for like prop bets and prize pick stuff like that, rather than rostering with confidence on fantasy. But he is so active that he has such a hand in everything on all the peripherals that I'll never talk anyone off of playing him. But for the most part, in a 9-game slate, if I'm really just truly seeking ceiling on the price point, it's going to be SGA. But if you got to some Giddey on FanDuel, I don't think you're crazy. I just don't love the matchup here.
All right. I wanted to call out the oddities of the NBA schedule. So OKC has lost 7 of their last 9. Yeah, a lot of them have been blowouts. A few have been close. They blew out the Brooklyn on Thursday, 130 to 109. How did that happen? But their game prior to that, lost by four. Prior to that one, lost by four, lost by 30, lost by eight, lost by nine, won by 15, lost in a blowout, lost by four. So they're staying relatively close. So we're seeing some decent minutes there as a baseline. And then it just kind of becomes the what happens really down the stretch or in the fourth quarter. And as long as nobody's lost minutes to foul issues it, through those first three quarters, we start seeing Giddey and SGA and Dort in that 30, 35, 36, 37 minute range. And all of a sudden they're like, wait, how are they in my lineup again? And then you're, you know, full throated roar. I'm playing these guys going forward. And then they get blown out and you get a 29 minute game and it's not so fun. But that's kind of, as Gunn mentioned, that there are other ways to approach players that are in this particular spot. I was just looking here at Odd Shopper to see if we have any good Josh Giddey bets. So just quickly checking that. And Odd Shopper is a free Osmo sister site here. So the fun thing is all I did is I just went to oddshopper.com. You click in the upper right, the upper left, my other right, the upper left, and you click on shop NBA bets, and then you can start seeing the various filters. We've got the parlay builder, which is a lot of fun, does all the heavy lifting for you. But all I did here is I just filtered on Josh Giddey, and I said, all right, let's look at expected win totals, because we don't care about ROI if we're looking Prize Picks or No House Advantage or Thrive. I'll throw out some others out there. Some of those sites that have put together fantasy contests around, do they meet this or not numbers? So we care about the expected win rate. So if we look at Giddey, we have him projected today for 7.5 rebounds. Currently, the FanDuel line is 6.5. That's a 64% win percentage. Now, if we were to go look at one of the other sites, they may have him closer to 6, or not close, they may have him at 6 or even 5.5. All of a sudden, you're looking at a 70-75% win opportunity. There's still room for failure in that, but those are the bets you want to start looking at. But you can filter by, if you're on the sports books, but you can choose your state. You can do it by sports book. You can do it by expected ROI, expected win percentage, highest to lowest. Look at all the different things that are out there. And this is all free, doing all the heavy lifting for you. But that's oddshopper.com, one of the Osmo sister sites. And then free for everybody for the time being, but free for everybody. And what comes out is the actual from the Osmo models. For the points or rebounds or what have you projections, those are rushing yards, because of course it's NFL today. Those numbers come out directly from the Osmo DFS model. So very, very helpful. We've seen a lot of success from people in the parlay builders and stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's another way to look at fantasy sports. And again, if you're in one of those states that is not yet have legal gambling, there's chances are you're going to have one of those other sites that offers it sort of as a fantasy contest instead. All right, that was sort of the DFS strategy part of the show here. We do have, we're actually making good time because we're down to business here, not screwing around too much. Maybe we'll have some questions and such at the end, because we know whatever we break down today in this particular moment is going to change with the injury reports that come out around lunchtime. And then again, the 5:30 injury reports, and then again, the starting lineups. So it's like we're going to have three different slates today, Gunn, before we even actually play once we get all of that. But what we're teaching you how to do it here is, one, read the slate. Two, understand how to react to this news, because a lot of it's going to be late breaking. And three, you can apply a lot of the hints and tips and tricks that we're giving you here. And of course, this show runs every weekday as well. It just helps you how to read the slate for those sub-slates, the late slates. Well, there's not a lot of specific content geared to just this particular player pool. You need to understand who is going to elevate from also-rans to neutral plays, and those neutral plays that turn into core plays, because we're cutting our player pool down by 70% for the late games or the short games or short slates. So a lot of fun doing that. All right. Let me get back here. I think we're good with Cleveland and OKC. Let's move on to the Clippers at San Antonio. So of course, no Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. If George isn't coming back, I don't think they play Kawhi this year. This is like, remember when everybody was ready to gift them, you know, the Clippers curse is over, they're going to go to the finals. How did they pull off this amazing trade? Mm. Clippers got a Clipper, even under Steve Ballmer. It just is just, wow, this is the cursed franchise. They they never should have taken them out of San Diego, the San Diego Clippers. That's why they're the Clipper ships, the ones with the big, you know, like the old pirate ships. That's what the Clippers stand for. Most people probably don't know that. They're like, oh, it's paper clips, right? Clippers, paper clips, the clip joint, Staples Center? No, no. Okay, okay. No, it's actually ships. It's actually ships. All right. So Clippers down, underdogs. Oops, I skipped Philly and Miami. Oh, I know why I skipped that. I did not write that on my show sheet. So let's do Clippers in San Antonio first, and I'll pull the information for the game I missed. Thank you, producer Mike. So you've got San Antonio is on a back-to-back. This is a 3-4. They are playing 8:30 in the evening on MLK. Last night they lost 114-109 to Cleveland. Last night DeJounte Murray played 36 minutes. Jakob Poeltl played 33. The Clippers, on the other hand, they are playing at 3:30 on MLK. That's really not new to them. They play a lot of 3:30 games on Saturday as well as Sunday. So that start time, not particularly crazy for them. That's 3:30 Eastern time, so earlier local time there. No Luke Kennard, no Justice Winslow for the Clippers. Isaiah Hartenstein is questionable. You have Derek White is ruled out for the Spurs, so we should continue to see depending on what Greg Popovich would like to do. Again, they're playing again on Monday. He's someone that will take a scheduled loss here. But we do have some interesting options here with DeJounte Murray, with Walker, a variety of others. What do you like from this game? Let me pull the info from the game I missed here.
The first thing that sticks out to me on the Spurs side is you mentioned it's a back-to-back 3-4, but this is like their seventh game, I think, since the fifth. They've been playing some games, a lot of back-to-backs in that stretch. And I think that is why we're seeing just a 2.5-point spread here, because we probably expect the Spurs to be a little bit more of a favorite against this stripped-down Clippers team. So maybe keep an eye on that. We saw something similar last night where the Grizzlies had such a grueling schedule down the last couple of weeks here that they really ran out of gas against the Mavericks. So maybe that puts a little bit of doubt in some of this, upside and gas tanks expectation from the Spurs side. But DeJounte Murray, man, he is a beast when he is unleashed here. If Derek White is able to go, I think that might draw back some interest on this DeJounte Murray price point, because he's right up there now with the likes of James Harden, and Harden isn't quite dealing with the same drawback there. So if Derek White's in, I probably don't have much interest in the Spurs team. And if Derek White's out, I would have to meditate on how much DeJounte I would get to, because I do think his upside is as high as anyone on this slate. We've seen him drop a couple 70s. On the Clippers side, with all those cats out that you mentioned, Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris have been the two guys that have been most privy to chase for ceiling. We've seen some deep minute games from guys like Amir Coffey, but again, no warm and fuzzies through and through. I think Reggie Jackson would be the most interesting piece for me in terms of ceiling versus price. And then, like I said, Marcus Morris, under 7K on both sides, close to 6K on FanDuel. He definitely has a range of outcomes for 30 plus, even 40 plus if things are shaking the right way. But outside of that, I'm probably not getting to a whole lot here. If you wanted to get to some Jakob Poeltl, I think price-wise for the talent, it's easily justifiable. But like I said, there's so much at the 7-8K range that you don't have to reach far. If we're having some gas tank doubts, that's definitely going to be prevalent in the bigs here. So I think it's DeJounte for me if White's out, and then a little bit of Reggie and Marcus Morris consideration, but overall no priorities.
All right. To the game that I missed riding up here, Philadelphia – underdogs by 2 points at Miami. Both teams are on a 3-4. Both teams won last night. Philadelphia, let's get up to our injury page here. Philadelphia is has questionable Matisse Thybulle. He kind of got hung on to the rim, or I didn't exactly see totally what happened on a breakaway dunk last night, or he slipped or what have you, but he ended up landing on his back underneath the stanchion there. So he could be shaken up. So he may be out tonight. It's apparently shoulder injury. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like it was a concussion or anything like that. And then you've got Danny Green sore some, just pick something and it's sore on him. That's what we're going to see for him for the rest of the season here. Bam Adebayo getting closer to a return. Remember, he's been out with a thumb injury. So ideally his conditioning is at least up there for 30 minutes when he comes back to, for whenever that is. They're targeting Monday. They're, both these teams also play on MLK. In the earlier games. I know Philadelphia is going to be in the early game there with Washington. I didn't pull the, where is Miami? Miami, I think, plays a little bit later than that, but let's get back to the Miami injuries here. We've got, obviously, no Markieff Morris. I mentioned Bam Adebayo. You did have the return of Jimmy Butler last night. So let's go to, sorry, too many things open. So last night, Jimmy Butler played 33 minutes, PJ Tucker 33, Lowry 36, Yurtseven 28. So not extreme minutes. You still had Hero performing well off the bench. He was 7 for 16, 4 from 8 from beyond the arc. He played 32 minutes. So Dwayne Dedmon has also made his return. Omar Yurtseven looks like he has earned the starting role, at least until Bam Adebayo is back. So I would expect to see him as the starter. And then from the Philadelphia side, they just kind of worked over Boston, who made it closer in the fourth quarter, but that game was completely out of hand, or at least it seemed like, but they still ran a lot of their starters in heavy minutes. Harris played 39, Embiid just 32, Maxey played 38, Steph Curry played 36. Thibault, as we said, I don't think we'll see him tonight. He played 28 as a starter. Korkmaz had 27 off the bench. If Thibault is out and Danny Green remains out, Korkmaz is the intriguing guy, whether he starts or not. A lot of moving parts here. These guys all mostly seem like neutral plays still, but I do think we're going to want, depending on your side of choice, some of them will make it not quite into the core play, but definitely into the tournament aspect of things. What do you like here? Let's start off with the Miami side.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler did come back. He's got a couple back-to-backs under his belt in the last 2 months, but he also has a couple night twos where he opted to sit out, or they opted to sit him out. So I guess look out for that news just in case throughout the day if they opt to take it easy with him going forward. Obviously, if he was out, that would boost Lowry and Hero, and the same with Lowry if you know, they decide to stagger some rest. From a eagle eye perspective here, we're dealing with two of the bottom five pace teams in all of basketball, so it would be no real surprise if this was like 198 type of scoreboard here. But like you said, from a tournament standpoint, there's ceilings to be had. Jimmy Butler, triple double threat against this old I'm gonna say friends, old team. Joel Embiid has 50 to 60 fantasy point potential, sometimes 70. I think Embiid is priced somewhat in no man's land on DraftKings. Is actually cheaper than center only LeBron James by $500, so stone's throw away. And then he's going to be a $1,200 discount to Jokic, and then he's above all those 7-8K centers that we talked about earlier. So considering the pace, the matchup, the back-to-back, I could definitely understand if Embiid kind of got lost in the shuffle. I think the expectation for me is a more median 50 fantasy points unless someone was out. So I wouldn't have to prioritize that at that price point, because I've already talked about that. There's a good chance we're going to get 50 out of AK somebody tonight, whether it be Nurkic or Jared Allen, somebody like that. So no front end, like high tier guys here, but for tournament upside, Butler has a ceiling and Embiid has a ceiling worth getting a little bit of exposure to.
Yeah, and those are the guys that can put up 50 fantasy points at the end of the night. We're shaking our heads going, how did we not see this? You know, and I've seen a lot of people kicking themselves recently, like, oh my God, you know, Antetokounmpo's been horrible. I can't believe this. He's got like 2 triple doubles in his last 4 games. Mm-hmm. 3 of the games are 60 or more fantasy points. We thought he was going to be, you know, shortchanged, and he still, not only did he stay out to get the triple double, he then played the next rotation in their last game. We don't know what's going to happen these days, these games. You know, we saw Golden State just in that same game get their ass kicked by Milwaukee, and then the next night return the favor by gobsmacking Chicago. Who would have thought? I mean, you're thinking everybody's shorthanded. They're still missing the people from Golden State. They're going to roll over. They're just going to just wander their way back off this road trip. No, they were up by 30 real quick. So who knows what's going to happen in DFS these days? Who knows? I tell you. I do know that we have just over 300 people watching and we're almost at 100 likes. Hit that thumbs up. That would be a nice little way to start off the day here at Awesomeo, giving us a little momentum as we bring you six more shows after us, as we bring you six videos on demand. We already have On the Contrary that was recorded yesterday. Alex Baker and Dave Lochran do that every single week for the NFL tournaments. And we brought back fan favorite, fellow former Awesomeo contributor, Chris Spaggs, who's now heading up some content over there at Football Outsiders. Me, Spaggs up in the world now, has a kid on the way, moved out to Philadelphia. He's just shaking the dust off that crummy little town. Where did he used to live? Yeah, that tiny little town, Los Angeles, I think they call it LA, City of Angels. Yeah, he's out there in Philadelphia now. So he's, or the Philadelphia suburbs anyway. But yeah, we got to see Spaggs. So that was a fun show coming back. And they brought a lot of good takes talking about both the Saturday slate today, the two gamer, and then tomorrow's Sunday three-game NFL slate and how to approach it and how to find some different paths to victory that are both plausible and looking like they're going to be less popular routes. But, you know, when you have something that's less popular, but you still have a 30, 40% chance of it happening, that doesn't mean it's a bad play. It means you're escaping the masses as you, you know, run towards the pot of gold. So you can get all of that, as well as we do have a Prize Picks show for the NFL that's in the can, a 25-minute show that's giving you 14 different prize picks out there. And then today we've got multiple NFL shows, of course, Live Before Lock for the two-game slate. We've got Live Before Lock for the Saturday night game. And then we've got the NBA Deeper Dive and NBA Live Before Lock as well. So we've got you covered with all sorts of content here. So hit that like button. Get us started off on the right foot here on this glorious Saturday. All right, three games to go. We were ahead, but I skipped the game. So now we're right on time, Gundacker. We're right on time here. Chicago, fresh off that whooping, going against Boston. Chicago, 4.5-point underdogs. This game has a 218.5 implied total. Chicago still without Alex Caruso. Zach Attack got injured in like the first quarter last night. You were lamenting that earlier today. No Javonte Green. Boston, we have Marcus Smart questionable. I believe he's still a conditioning question mark from the health and safety protocols. Back-to-back for Chicago, as well as a 3-4. They played the 3:30 game on MLK. They lost, as I mentioned last night, to Golden State, 138-96. Their starters for Chicago played a combined 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. No worries about this being a back-to-back. Boston on the other side, 3-4 for them as well. They played the 12:30 game on MLK. They lost to Philly last night. Tatum and Brown each played 32 minutes. Robert Williams played 31. No one else was over 30. So not really worried about the timing for them on this one. Are these teams going to recover from their poor showing? Someone's got to win tonight, right?
Yeah. And, while we're, you know, just now Alonzo Ball got downgraded to questionable. So no! Chicago Bulls limping without LaVine, potentially without Lonzo Ball tonight. You might see a lot of minutes of
Kobe. Kobe White, baby. I miss his bouncing hair. Man, that's like the hair game strong with these. I'm jealous. I got the bale pattern, Paul. They say goodbye to a few brave soldiers every morning as they meander down the drain. Young. I'm gonna have to. So, did you see? Side note: did you see the Greg Ehrenberg
high school photo? The Napoleon Dynamite throwback.
Let's just say I went and found my yearbook, so I'm gonna find a photo of me that I can post later this weekend. It's coming, and it doesn't look like your old pal. It looks like a young whippersnapper, so this should be fun. But yeah, I missed the hair game and dark hair. I got nothing but gray hair now. God, this isn't fair.
Zach LaVine averages 25 real
points. Don't rein me back in.
We're off the rails, God dang it.
All right, for Ron Koth, we are going to talk nothing but basketball going forward.
There we go.
Did I tell you I was a stat keeper for my basketball team in high school? That's basketball, technically.
I did that once, and I just give him my friends like double doubles and stuff. I'm like, well, I don't remember him getting 12 rebounds. He did, coach.
Don't watch the tape.
Zach LaVine's absence is very significant, and not only does he represent 35 plus minutes in competitive basketball, but he also represents 26 real points per game. So his absence is for sure, and we likely already look at Kobe White. If Lonzo Ball ends up not playing, Kobe White might play close to 40 minutes just by lack of bodies. Yesterday, after LaVine went down, the first man off the bench was Ayo Dosunmu. And then, of course, they also lost a lot of their wings, and we saw Troy Brown Jr. Draw a start. And Troy Brown Jr. is bare bones min price. He joins DeAndre Hunter as the lowest risk decent shot at minutes here. So you might see some studs and scrubs attempts on this slate with the Brown, with the DeAndre Hunter. But it goes without saying, in the absence of LaVine, we expect massive usage for DeRozan, for Nikola Vucevic. DeRozan likely to lead the two in uses, 27% so far this season, in a split without LaVine. There's not a whole lot of sample size of DeRozan, Vooch on LaVine, Lonzo off, so we're just going to have to eye test that, and by process of elimination, you expect DeRozan to do a lot of ball handling here. Both DeRozan and Vooch average over a fantasy point per minute in this split, and Vooch over a buck and a quarter. So you get him in the mix here, another center between 8 and 9K with true 50 fantasy point potential. So there's a lot to like here. There is some pushback, right? We give the Celtics a little bit of credit here. Slower paced team, a solid defense when they're full strength here. So it's not like a rollover, great bounce back spot, and you know you're limping into this one. But a lot of minutes, a lot of opportunity, and we're able to concentrate a lot more usage on a few guys. When it comes to the Celtics, I've been approaching every Celtics slate when Tatum and Brown are over 9K by putting them both in the same player group on Fantasy Cruncher, and at most one, because very rarely are their true ceilings or optimal ceilings coexisting for tournaments. And you're seeing a lot of one guy going off, a lot of one guy not, and vice versa. So I'm going to keep doing that. I will say they're getting closer price-wise to where I can kind of release that, but I think I'm going to hang on to that for another slate or two. And then watch out for Marcus Smart. If he can't go again, Dennis Schroeder might trap us again and into some exposure. But for the most part, I think figuring out these Bulls will be very key. And then, like I said, if there's no Lonzo Ball, you probably get really deep minutes on Kobe White, Dosunmu, and Troy Brown Jr. And a couple of those guys should profile as extreme value.
All right. Steven Leibowitz says, hey, wasn't Marcus Smart out with a bruised leg? Yes, he was. And then he slid into the health and safety protocol. So, yes, we're both right on that one. That's the crazy thing, is you get a lot of these guys rehabbing injuries, and then they go in the health and safety protocol. And usually we don't get dual injury designations on a lot of the sites. So you just get whatever was the most recent. So it can be a little tricky. But, yes, so not only do we have to worry when he comes back, is he okay from the leg? If he's in, you know, he could test out of the health and safety. We don't know if it was, you know, one positive test or it was a close contact or what have you. So we'll have to see. But yes, thank you for calling that out, because even if he's got a clean bill of health, he did miss, or he has been dealing with the bruised leg. So good. See, community here. Everybody helps everybody. That's a nice thing about Osmo. Two more games to go here. We've got the Los Angeles Lakers in Denver. Lakers are 3.5 point underdogs. Denver with this game has a 224.5 implied point total. Let's see. The Lakers have been off since Wednesday. They play the 10:30, the marquee late night game for Martin Luther King Day on Monday. Denver plays the 8 o'clock game, or plays again tomorrow. They're one of the few teams, I think might be the only team today, that is on a back-to-back. They play the 8 o'clock Sunday night game. There are only three NBA games tomorrow. We were looking ahead at the schedule. Of course, it's kind of a 2.5 or 3 slates worth on Monday. There's only two games on Tuesday, a whole bunch of, like, everybody plays again on Wednesday, and then we're back to three games on Thursday. So we're back to the all or nothing NBA slates once we get through MLK. But that day gives us so much fun basketball. So very, very worth having the holiday there. But back to the Lakers here. Anthony Davis is looking like he's 2 weeks away. They're starting to sort of pinpoint a return. We shall see. You've got Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony, both questionable. Denver, mostly healthy. I say that hesitantly because someone always seems to be getting ruled out for them. And of course, you know, when you're missing Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, though there was a Jamal Murray shoot-around sighting before their other game. So that's a good sign. But you've got Jokic doing all of the heavy lifting. You've got LeBron the same on the other side here. Is it just the two of them? Is there anybody else we want to look at here? Because we're getting into late night hammer time.
Yeah, I mean, clearly those are the front end options here. What I'm curious to see if the Lakers opt to stick with LeBron at the five here. I know that's been what they roll out the last, five or six games. But when they first rolled that out, they did say that this could be matchup-based. And it seems crazy to put LeBron and Jokic at each other. So I guess, you know, Dwight Howard's health would be a contingent on being able to even flex out of that. I don't think you want to get to DeAndre Jordan, but man, Jokic would have a field day with really any of these undersized bodies that might match up with him. Decent total, really attainable game to attack, 4-point spread. So I love Jokic. In my early projections, I had Jokic leading the slate in fantasy points, just a tick above LeBron James. So I'm fine with getting to Jokic if we can get him. It's a shame that he's, you know, a center, considering how much underpriced potential we have at the center position today. But it's Jokic. Raw points is raw points. And if you're going to drop 70, that dog will hunt. So I'll have some Jokic in the mix here. And then LeBron, the same thing. And unfortunately, on DraftKings, they make LeBron center only. So we can't, you know, we can't have fun today. There's so much upside.
Center. LeBron is center only on DK?
Center only on DraftKings
today. Oh my God. How is that even possible? He plays every position. He has been listed at every position this year except shooting guard on DraftKings.
Yeah. So.
And now we're making him center only after two starts there. What happened to the rule? Like baseball, it used to be you had to play at least 35% of your games in a position to get multi. They just make shit up at this point. That's the technical term. And I'm going to say that. Sorry, Tom.
He's had more than two starts, but he's such a fluid player that he's really the ultimate positionless guy.
He should be the one guy that gets a U. We can just play him anywhere.
Yeah, right. You're really chopped at the knees on this slate in terms of what you can do if you agree that center gives us a ton of 50, 60, 70 fantasy point potential. Jokic, LeBron, Vooch in that spot without LaVine, Jared Allen, Yusuf Nurkic without anyone. Like, there's a lot of potential that it could be center only on DraftKings, or is center only on DraftKings. And it kind of puts a little bit of pressure on making the right decision today. So we're dealing with that. And I also think it would be ironic that, like I said, if they opt to go matchup based here, LeBron might not even start at center on the first day that he's center only. That would be ultimate trolls. Russell Westbrook is at why can't I quit you levels of pricing on FanDuel 8,500.
Did you see the compilation on Twitter of him just airballing every shot?
My boy, poor Russ. But 8,500.
That gives me hope that I could go out there and do that. I wouldn't be as fast and I'd probably be triple, but I could airball it, damn it.
Yeah. At 8,500, I'll have a little bit of Russ. And Malik Monk, you know, he's kind of grown into a true shooting guard role with this team. If you're going to get Carmelo out, you know, you're looking for guys that can compensate for some real scoring. I don't mind getting a couple of shares of Malik Monk, but only Jokic and LeBron James would be front end options for me.
I'm looking at, I was curious about Malik Monk. So he's been in the league for 5 years. And he's a variety of injuries. Prior to this year, he had one career start. His games for Charlotte starting off his age 19 season, his rookie year, 63, 73, 55, 42. He's played most of the games this season. He's actually been relatively solid. This is where it's like, I don't really know that he's a DFS play, but he's actually been kind of their third scorer, I guess, depending on where you want to rank Westbrook. and Davis won healthy. We're just going to say that LeBron is number one, and then those other two, all right, well, they take one and a half spots because they never seem to all be in the game at the same time. But that one's kind of interesting there. I was looking at it because we were looking in chat. They were saying, hey, we stacked the Sacramento-Houston game last night. That was great. It was at the end of the slate. It was a lot of fun, you know, climbing the leaderboard and seeing everything that was going to happen. Can we do that tonight with this game? The answer is probably no. And it's going to be real. I mean, you will be incredibly unique with all the centers we've talked about today, especially on DraftKings. If you're going to go the Jokic and LeBron utility spot, that will be definitely a unique build. But the reason that other game made it better is there was a lot of underpriced options. We had De'Aaron Fox just mispriced on a couple sites. We had a reasonably priced Tyrese Halliburton. Bagley got like one of the best games of his career out of nowhere, where if Holmes was going to play, we didn't know if Bagley was going to see more than 18 or 20 minutes. You had Metu in there. You had a variety of options. And then Houston, you knew Christian Wood was going to just hoover up all the rebounds and get a lot of scoring in the paint. And there was a couple other one-offs there. This gets a little tougher because after with the Nuggets, who do you really trust? Maybe it's a Will Barton, but that poor guy is made of paper mache, and he just gets – he's like the Anthony Davis of in-game injuries. He just doesn't go to the locker room. He just goes to the bench and doesn't come back when he gets dinged up. For the Lakers side, it's like, who else are we going to go with besides LeBron? You're earmarking a ton of salary here. So even if you went on that high end, it's hard to take – tertiary plays, as Lofty likes to say, on from either team here, because one, you don't know who they're going to be, and two, they all are kind of capped at 20-23 fantasy points, it feels like. So I don't think this is a stacking game. Fun to watch. Maybe we do some same game parlays. Maybe you do a little showdown action where, granted, you aren't stacking it. Everybody else is stacking it as well. I just don't see the advantage for that tonight, but it's always fun to look for a game that could be that game. It's just not this one tonight.
Yeah.
Any for the late slate crowd, any tertiary plays, or for those that are just going to balls to the wall, double center from this game tonight, any who, if you're forced to, give me your bet, the second best play on each team?
I think Malik Monk. I think he's a true, he's what the Lakers have been needing for a while, and he's growing into a great shooting guard role. And three of his last four games, 40 plus fantasy points. I've already seen some shreds of doubt, some pessimistic takes about his price point. You get 40 plus, 20 plus real points is there for the taking. And then on the Nugget side, Pat Jokic, I usually only get to Will Barton, sub 6K on both sides. We can't forget the Lakers defense, still not good. They're still going to run a fast pace. So Jokic and Barton get to LeBron and Malik Monk would be probably the 2v2 I'd get to. And it just becomes stronger if we don't get Carmelo, who could be coming home narrative.
How many people remember he played for Denver?
There's a whole generation that has no idea, and it scares me.
Hey, most DFS players don't realize that Gallinari played for New York. He's playing him tonight, where nobody mentioned revenge there for all of that. So, your mileage may vary. We do have one more game here, the other late game. This, if you are looking for a contrarian stacking opportunity, it could be this game. Now, there's some landmines that we're going to have. So it's Orlando at Dallas. Orlando is 10-point underdogs, just a 208 over-under. But we know that the fantasy production should be concentrated in at least some identifiable players. So no Kristaps Porzingis still. Mo Bamba has missed the last two games for Orlando with the toe injury. He didn't play last night. Wendell Carter Jr. has missed the last four with the hamstring injury. This is a back-to-back and 3-4 for both teams. Both teams play on Monday. You had last night, Orlando somehow beat Charlotte 116-109 in Charlotte. You had Franz Wagner, the rookie, not to be confused with Moritz Wagner, his older brother. He played 37 minutes. You had Gary Harris play 34 minutes. And then I don't think nobody was really else was over 30. And then on the Denver side here, they actually won, surprisingly, in Memphis. 112-85 that Memphis just packed it in. I was just like, you know, whatever, we'll live to fight another day. But you had Brunson, Doncic, and Powell each play 32 minutes. Kleber played 27. Kleber and Powell tend to get a lot more minutes, obviously, when Kristaps Porzingis is out. Both had, or I know Kleber was for sure in the health and safety protocol recently. I think this was his fourth game back. It feels like he came back last weekend. So I think we'll see him in the upper 20s again tonight. Willie Cauley-Stein still away from the team for personal reasons. I don't remember what's up with Boban, but he's being goofy somewhere, whether he's in the health and safety protocol or not, I don't remember. But, you know, he's not really going to be a difference maker. But we could look at Brunson, Doncic, Powell, and Kleber, potentially Hardaway. On the other side for Orlando, if and this is the if Wendell Carter and Bamba are both out, we could go back to Rolo. Rolo came out from his brother's been out the whole year. He's or most of the year. He I think was health and safety as well. He did play last night, but disappointed the hell out of everybody. We could save four or five of our roster spots for the later game. And then do some mixing and matching. Maybe if everybody's kind of back, we upgrade to to Doncic, to LeBron, to Jokic. Maybe if some of key players are out of this game, we can position it around three or four guys, five guys from this game here, where we know the fantasy production is going to be concentrated. This is the DFS strategy show. We've got 3 minutes, or NBA version. We've got 3 minutes to go here, Gunbacker. Could this be a late night hammer? And how would you position yourself for it with this uncertainty here?
Yeah, from this far out, it's hard to get to anything with a high level of confidence. If Wendell Carter or Mo Bamba is out and we knew that information right now, we still wouldn't be able to lock in Robin Lopez and Chuma Okeke because neither of them closed the game last night. They opted to hand the keys over to Mo Wagner and Terrence Ross and close out with Gary Harris, Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner. So it seems like the safest play from the Magic side is going to be Franz Wagner, 6K-ish on both sides, real strong shot at 30 fantasy points. If Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba did play or one of the other, I think Mo Bamba's price point has a lot of room, a lot of meat on the bone at under 6K where 30 plus fantasy points is there. And then it might neutralize the fact you mentioned, you know, third game in four nights. Well, not for them, it's not. So they might be the freshest legs on the court if that did play out that way. Jalen Suggs came off the bench yesterday, so less overlap with Cole Anthony, so we can kind of still lean on Cole Anthony's usage rate. And we know he does have tournament winning potential. 7,600, I'm looking for the north side of 40 fantasy points. Very volatile to get that, but it's still a range of outcome. We've seen him accomplish that in four of his last six games. So he would be somebody I'd be somewhat interested in, especially if I'm trying to late swap throughout the slate to kind of maybe save some dead lineups. But ultimately speaking, the Magic are such a bad team I think they're the largest dog on the slate. So it's not much that I want to sell out for. It would probably be, like you said, a lot of late swap panic buttons if I got some lineups that need a little contrarian boost to give them a better shot at being live. On the Mavs side, Luka Doncic, man, he's in play every single slate. I got him right now as the third highest fantasy point scorer on the slate, about 5 and 6 fantasy points below LeBron and Jokic, but 11.1K on DraftKings and a more attainable 10.4K on FanDuel. He has as much shot as chance as anybody at dropping 60 plus fantasy points. So I don't mind getting to him. Generally, though, slow pace game, low total, not expecting a ton. So I don't want to get too overexposed in this game. It'd probably just be Doncic. And every now and then, a 6K Jalen Brunson probably hits a lineup for me.
Yeah. And again, this was just one of those things where we're looking to break things down and where this one, yes, it's slow. And yes, Dallas actually has not only are they the seventh slowest team over their last seven games, they have the best defensive efficiency rating, but the production would be somewhat concentrated and the pricing would work out. The salaries would work out to get to those players. Then we're hoping for an overtime or something of that nature where we have a team, you know, flying halfway across the country, Charlotte to Dallas is halfway across the country, but they're on a back-to-back double-digit underdogs, right? You need a bunch of stuff going your way. But if you wanted to set one lineup aside that you were hand-building and just said, hey, let's have some fun with this, I'm going to light $3 on fire or what have you, and go that route, why not? At least you're going to have PMR and flexibility up to the last couple of games and have a little fun with that. Build your whole night around it. Probably not tonight, by no stretch compared to what we did last night with Houston and Phoenix, where seemingly, unless you were limiting players, you were ending up with three or four in almost every lineup from that game. So just different ways of looking at stuff. You can also approach what we were just discussing, though, on that two-game late slate. People will be looking towards the other game. It's more exciting. It's more interesting. But we kind of just showed you how you could build out this game, that if the other one ends up playing slow, because let's face it, the Lakers and Denver, not exactly fast either these days. You know, or at least over their last seven. And I just pulled that up as well. They're both bottom third of the league. You know, it's a different way of going. So different way to look at that. But we are up against the break. So we're going to get on out of here. You can follow Gundacker on Twitter at Gundacker. I am at EmacDFS. Of course, it is Osmo_COM. Six more shows coming up after us, two in the can, including On the Contrary with Alex Baker, Dave Lochran, and Chris Baggs, breaking down both the Saturday and Sunday NFL slates. Promo code SUPERWILD gets you a $1 Osmo Express package for NFL. Gets you all the showdown games for the next 7 days, which includes six this week and whatever's on Saturday next week. With that, gamers, good luck. Producer Mike, it's awesome.